The Islamic State group has released a video declaring war on Indonesia and Malaysia. The video shows children burning their Indonesian and Malaysian passports while a gun-toting man warns of a coming battle in the region. The video was released on the same day as an ISIS-linked suicide bombing in the Indonesian city of Solo. Just over a week ago, the group that carried out an attack on a bar in Malaysia injured a week ago. So how vulnerable is Southeast Asia? Joseph Chin-Yong Liao is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute Centre for East Asia Policy Studies. Joseph, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Hi, thanks.
Joseph, these attacks, they come less than a month after a spate of bombings were foiled in the Indonesian city of Surabaya. Where do you think ISIS is in Southeast Asia? Are they opening up a new front for Islamist-inspired terrorism? Is that what they're intent on doing at the moment?
Well, I think it's quite clear that ISIS has intentions of perpetrating violence in Southeast Asia. A lot of it is being done through local sympathizers. These are people who have been radicalized, especially, I think, through the internet, especially in the case of Malaysia. Yes, I think you will see that such incidences are going to be recurring fairly frequently, I think, in the coming years.
And when you say these are attacks are perpetrated by local sympathisers, are they standalone or are they in contact with ISIS sort of mastermind somewhere else, if you like? I'm thinking about Muhammad Wandi, Muhammad Jedi.
Yes. Well, I think it's both. I think it's both, really, because we do have evidence of Syria-based Southeast Asian militants who are sending messages back and calling, declaring call to arms, right, back in Southeast Asia. But we also, at the same time, have cases of self-radicalization and lone wolves. And in fact, the Southeast Asian self-assumed leaders of ISIS Southeast Asia based in Syria, they're very aware of this. So they have been making calls for lone wolf attacks, sort of casting a very wide net in order to get people to act.
The attacks we've seen on the weekend, there was just yesterday, a suicide bomber tried to get into the police station in the city of Solo, but basically was stopped and blew himself up on the way in. And then just a few days ago, there also was an attack in Malaysia. These attacks, do you believe they're lone wolf attacks, though, or do you think there is the development of something akin to sort of fully fledged cells like we've seen in the Philippines?
Well, I think certainly in the case of Malaysia, I don't think that there is clear evidence that ISIS cells have developed. In the case of Indonesia, it's in a sense ISIS ideology superimposed upon existing extremist groups and factions of existing extremist groups. So it's very difficult to say, but I think the difference, if I may, compared to, say, the days of the JI, is that you do see an increase in the number of lone wolf attacks and, the desire to perpetrate attacks.
Yes, as you say, Indonesia, and we know this well in this country, obviously has a long history of Islamic extremists through Jamaah Islamiyah, the JI, as you said, yep. There. And the Indonesian city of Solo, where this one yesterday occurred, has been a hotbed of that extremism. But Indonesia, too, has been pretty effective in countering terrorism in recent years and in keeping a lid on the radicalisation of its population generally. Though you've been critical, urging reform of the Indonesian prison system. Others too, I know, we've spoken to Sydney Jones, has had the same concern about the Indonesian prison system needing reform. What is it about that system?
I think there are a number of problems with it, right? It's understaffed, it's overpopulated, they've taken measures to rectify this, but to some extent, but originally there was concern about the sort of intermingling between radical preachers who are interned there with what they call gen pop, right, the general population. And what happens as a result of that is the exposure of a very large number of inmates to radical preaching. And these preachers are allowed to preach and allowed to interact openly with the other prisoners. So that has always been a problem. And of course, there's the question of training and funding of wardens and prison officials as well, which can certainly be improved.
It's 23 past six on breakfast. Our guest is Joseph Chin Yong Liao, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institute Centre for East Asia Policy Studies. So Indonesia is one thing, and as we say, we've all known of the presence of JI, and is some of that morphing into ISIS. But what about Malaysia? Testifying recently at the United States Congress, you said the political climate in Malaysia has created fertile conditions for Islamic State's ideology to flourish. What do you mean? What's happened?
Well, if you look at Malaysian society and more so Malaysian politics over the last decade or so, what you will see very clearly is an intensification of a very exclusivist, conservative, and intolerant discourse focused on the primacy and supremacy of Islam over everything else. You know, and the fact that it's a very exclusivist and intolerant discourse in the way it has evolved has created a condition where a mindset has been created, which can lend itself to the same kind of thinking and mentality that groups like ISIS would appeal to and would draw on.
Right. Joseph, there's talk now of a Ramadan offensive. We've had the attack last week at the nightclub in Malaysia. We've had the attack yesterday in the Indonesian town of Solo. There's been horrible attacks in Baghdad, killing 200 people, in Bangladesh, in Beirut, in Saudi Arabia. Why has ISIS chosen Ramadan?
I think ISIS is basically a nihilistic group that really is not interested in anything, least of all, burnishing any sort of Islamic credentials. I think these are people who are very happy to perpetrate indiscriminate intimidation, violence against anyone and everyone who does not subscribe to their belief system, be they Muslim or non-Muslim.
Joseph Chin Yong Liao, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you.
Joseph Chin Yong Liao is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute's Centre for East Asia Policy Studies.